Well, I desire your prayers this evening. I confess I feel a little trembly this evening. So I'm trying to keep my eyes on the Lord this evening and desire that the Lord will help and give strength. I feel a burden tonight. I'm challenged to wholly follow the Lord. Wholly and completely. Without reserve. Have you made that commitment tonight? Are you willing to follow the Lord wholly and completely with no reserve? You're all in. We heard last night, Brother Philip, I believe, mentioned Joshua's dying exhortation, where he got the people of Israel together and he reminded them of all that the Lord had done for them. All the many things, the good things that God had done for them. And he told them, he said, "Choose you this day whom you are going to serve. Whether the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Regardless if I'm the only one left. Regardless if everyone looks at me and says, that's not necessary and you don't have to do that and that's not how you have to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord tonight. I want to be committed to wholly, completely follow the Lord. I want to be a dependable servant that the Lord is able to look on my life and also say, have you considered my servant, Rod?" That's humbling to me and it's a challenge, but I believe it's a place that the Lord wants us to be. And so tonight I want us to be challenged as we go through this message to evaluate where we are with the Lord. Have you committed yourself wholly and completely? And the title of my message tonight is Lingering in the Plains. And I'd like to read an account that has been referenced a couple of times in this meeting already. I'd like to start in the 13th chapter of Genesis. And we'll start at the 10th verse. It said, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere," listen to this, "before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they departed themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Now let's fast forward to the 19th chapter. In the 19th chapter, in the first verse, "And it said, And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." You see now what's happened? We just read where he was in the plains, didn't we? He was in the plains and he had his tent pitched towards Sodom, but he wasn't in Sodom. But now, just a few chapters later, now there's two angels coming to Sodom, and here's Lot in the gate of Sodom. "And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. And wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we'll abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly." He didn't want them abiding in the street. He knew what was going on out there. "And they turned in unto him and entered in his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to see thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. You understand what's going on? It's not good. And what happened was, is they came and asked to get to the men, the angels that came. And it said in the 8th verse that Lot then offered up his two daughters in place of the angels. And he said, here are my two daughters. It was almost like that he found himself in a place that he never should have found himself. Never should have found himself. Where he was trying to get by with a lesser sin, a lesser evil. He thought it would be better to offer his two girls, his two daughters, to the wicked men of Sodom than to let them get to the angels. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal with worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, the angels did, and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both great and small, so that they wearied themselves to try to get in the house. What abject wickedness. If I was doing something wrong and I was struck with blindness, wouldn't that get your attention? Wouldn't you say, what in the world just happened to me? Whatever I was doing, I'm no longer interested in that anymore. And I'm going to focus on my blindness. I'm not going to focus on the other. But they wearied themselves because now they were blind and they couldn't see, and they were still trying to get a hold of what it was that they wanted. I have written in my Bible that their spiritual blindness was greater than their physical blindness. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. And he said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. This is a whole other message, but I also have written in my Bible the story of a lost generation. You might be able to handle going a little farther than you should, a little closer to sin than you should have, but it'll have an effect on those that come after you. Lot was saved, but these men weren't. And when the morning arose, and then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men, the angels, took hold of his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and brought them forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, then he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Leave it behind. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Don't just go back to the plains. Get out of the city. Escape to the mountain. Lest thou be consumed. And the 24th verse said, And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities. Listen to this. He overthrew the cities, and this is my message tonight, and all the plain. You get that? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plain. And all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. I'm thinking this evening about where I fear so many are dwelling. I fear tonight that there are too many people lingering in the plains. Maybe not right in the middle of sin. Maybe perhaps you're on the outskirts of sin. Maybe you don't feel like that you have strayed far enough that you feel like, well, yes, I am violating direct commands that are in the Scriptures, and I'm a sinner. Maybe that's not where you feel like you are tonight. But there are too many people that have set up camp in the plains, directionally pointed towards that the Lord is vehemently against. And I have a question tonight. Have you given serious consideration to the end of the road that you're traveling on tonight? To the end of the road. Didn't say, have you given serious consideration to where you are tonight? But have you given serious consideration to the end of the road that you're on? Because I have found always, I believe I mentioned this the other day, that always the destinations, getting to a destination, it involves starts and stops. It involves left turns and right turns. Sometimes we stop, sometimes we back up. But always, if you stay on a road, you will get to what's on that road eventually. If you stay on the road. If I go out here and get on Interstate 5 and head north, I may not like the fact that I'm going to pass through Salem. May not like it that Salem is there, but I want to tell you something. If I stay on I-5 north, I will go through Salem. Whether I like it or not, whether I want it to be there or not, and you know what? Even if I don't know that Salem is there, if I don't do my homework and I don't look at the map and I don't spend enough time to understand what's down the road that others are warning me against, and I say, I don't think there's a problem with this. I see no issue with me heading in that direction. And I don't listen. And I don't give it time, and I don't give it consideration. And I continue down that road. I may not even know Salem is there, but you know what? I'll hit it. It'll be there. And then I'll say, well, I didn't know Salem was here. Maybe you didn't, but you should have. And you had opportunity, and you were warned, and there was a map. There was a map you could have looked at if you would have taken the time to understand directionally where you were going. You would have discovered that there was something down at the end of that road that you didn't like. And so I wonder tonight if you have the sense of urgency that you ought to have to understand what's at the end of the road that you're on. And I'm worried tonight. My message tonight is to those that have drifted into the plains. They're in the plains. They feel like, well, I'm not in sin. And I think of what the Lord, the angel, said to the church at Laodicea. He said, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're kind of in the middle. And if you let me say it this way, you're kind of in the plains. You're not right in the middle of Sodom, but you're out here in the middle. You're not where my blessings are. And you know what he went on to say? What did he say? And then thou sayest, I'm rich. Though thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Everything's okay. Haven't violated these. Show me scripture and verse. Oh, I worry when I hear that, young folks. I worry when I hear people have a pattern of life where they're always saying, well, show me why that is exactly wrong. I am not interested in finding where this is sin and this is technically not sin. I have no interest in hanging out there. When thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that you put on some white raiment so that you'll be covered and your nakedness won't be revealed, so that you won't get down to the end of the road and all of a sudden realize I don't have anything, and that your eyes are anointed with eye salve so that you can see. I'm concerned about those that have been deceived to hang out in the plains, to begin to give up, to begin to let down standards of holiness, to begin to let the ways of the world creep in, and directionally, they're pointed closer to the things of the world than they are trying to find where the temple of God is that I can go dwell. In fact, God wants you to be His temple. Without spot. Blameless. He didn't say, know ye not that you're my temple and that you can dwell in the plains and that I'll be happy to dwell in you? That's not what the Scripture says. The temple of the Lord is pure, it's holy. And it seems like that today there are too many people trying to find all of the reasons why it's okay to dwell in the plains because I'm not right in the middle of Sodom. And it concerns me. Where's your tent pitched tonight? If the Lord were to come by tonight, each one of you, and ask you and say, do you know where your tent's pitched? Directionally, where are you going? Where are you today versus where you were last year? Are you moving in the right direction? Why are you where you are? Why did you choose the plains that you chose? This says in the 13th chapter and the 10th verse that Lot chose what looked good to the eyes. And a lot of times that's why we are where we are in life. People, I'm talking about in general. They are where they are because of what looks good to the eyes. What satisfies the senses, the ears, the flesh. Those things that appeal to us, we gravitate towards that. And that is typically where people set up camp. That's where they establish their lives. And the enemy is in the business of getting you to be drawn out. And he's expanding the plains more and more and more to say there's nothing wrong with this. You're not in Sodom. This isn't technically wrong. That was one of Lot's first mistakes, was to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Should have never done it. Young folks, don't go there. Your lives are at stake. Your children's lives are at stake. Other young people that are watching your life, they're feeding off of you. They're taking cues from how you live. You testify to be a saint of God, and you're living in a way that really is out in the plains. It used to be called Sodom, now it's just called the plains. It just keeps changing. The target keeps moving. It's no longer wrong anymore. It's just the planes. That's the deceit of the enemy. Don't go there. Don't let the world define for you what's right and what's wrong. They're in no position to define what holiness is. They do not have spiritual vision. Their eyes have not been anointed with eye salve. They say, everything's fine. Everything's good. We're rich, increased with goods. There's no problem. I serve God. I have a relationship with God. Have a testimony. And Jesus Himself, the angel of the Lord, said, you say everything's fine spiritually. But don't you know that there's a problem? You need to have your eyes open. You need to have a vision of what it means to serve the Lord. And too many, we find a sense of security in numbers. And more numbers of professed Christians are hanging out, pitching their tents in the plains, and pointing them towards Sodom. And as Sodom moves, the plains move. And you cross the line where Sodom used to be that you never would have found yourself. Now here you are. Never would have thought you would have been there, but you always can look and see Sodom off in the distance. Well, I'm not over there. Sodom keeps moving, the plains keep expanding. And professed Christians continue to live more and more and more like the world lives. And then we say, I'm rich, I'm increased, it's good, everything's okay. And the Lord's over there saying, no! Don't you know you need help? This said that it looked good before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Plains looked good until God destroyed it. Looked like everything ought to be okay, not in Sodom. The Lord didn't just destroy Sodom. He destroyed the plains. You understand why we hold standards of spiritual protection that we do? Standards of holiness? You're not going to get me to have a line that says, well, you don't, no reason to do any of these things that protect you, that maybe are a buffer between you and the world. Because I don't want to be found in the plains. God destroyed the plains. He knows where my heart. Why would I want to live in the plains anyway? What attracts me to the plains? Why do I want to move to that? The enemy is so deceitful to get us to think, everything's okay. You can minister to the people out there. Those people need you. You can't reach them unless you look like them. You got to kind of fit in with them. Pitch your tent out there and you can teach them the gospel. God never intended for us to compromise truth to reach people. He never did it, never asked us to do it, and never intends for it to be done. He is looking for a holy people, unspotted from the world, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a people that are determined to stay out of the plains, to flee to the mountains. Where's your tent? Lord's going to come back. The Lord's going to be a judge. Hell's a long time, saints. It's a long time. And the judgment of God's real. You will stand before the Lord. God will call your name. You will be singled out. You think you don't like being singled out in a classroom? Wait till you're singled out by the Almighty God and your soul is at stake. I don't ever want to hear those words, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Put you on the scales, and it looks like when it evened out, I found you in the plains. But Lord, I wasn't in Sodom. But Lord, what Scripture says I couldn't do this? I mean, I never found anything that just technically said I couldn't do this. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. I never knew you. I tried to tell you directionally where you were headed. You are far from where you thought you were. You had a false sense of security. because of all of those that are around you are also testifying of an experience that they too don't have. They have a profession and they lack the power. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Having a profession but lacking the power thereof. Do you have power tonight? The Lord wants you to have power. Do you have fire in your spirit or do you just have religion? Do you just have a testimony? Or do you have actions that take place when no one else is around? And you have a love for the Lord. Saints, I am not trying to preach a message to appeal to your emotion of fear. This is a message based on reality. Okay? Eternity is real and God is coming back. And it is necessary sometimes to hear it straight just like it is. And this is just like it is. It's Scripture. It's truth. And there's a reason that the Lord gave us the parable of the 10 virgins and 5 of them were foolish. And He called them virgins. Perhaps largely unspotted from the world. They were virgins. But they were lost. They were lost. Because somewhere along the line they ran out of oil. They got in a place they never should have been. But they were hanging out with the wise virgins. They seemed like they were right there with them. But when it came down to it, they lost their souls for eternity. And it doesn't have to be this way. It didn't have to be this way for Lot. But he did not consider the short and the long-term ramifications of what he was doing. And because of it, he paid a price. Did Lot ever pay a price? Living in the plains is dangerous business. And there are ways, I believe, that we can live in the plains and not view it as living in the plains. How do you manage your time? We talked about that the other night. Time management. How do you manage your time? What do you do with your time? Serious, you only have so much time. You only have so much time. I want to use the time that I have to demonstrate to the Lord. Lord, I'm all in. I'm committed, Lord, to walking, to following You, to be a disciple of Christ. I want to manage my time like that. How about worldly mindedness? Did you know we can live in the plains with a worldly mindset? I mean, we are... It bothers me. It worries me and it concerns me to see so many saints that are seemingly so integrated with all of the entertainment of the world. And so they understand so much. I live in the world too. I see things. I'm not naive to a lot of things. But saints, there's a line that you've got to draw. You have to come to a place where you recognize that when the Scripture says in John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're not of the Father. They're of the world. And if you have those things in you, the love of the Father is not in you. The verse means something. It means something. You say, well, I don't have a love for it. Try letting go of it. I'm going to say it this way. There are some things that are becoming more and more difficult to preach about, all right? You start stepping on people's toes when you start talking about, you know, you really ought to be careful what you watch. You really shouldn't be hanging out at the movie theater. You know, you start talking about the way people dress. He was like, oh, now here they go again. Here they go again. They're talking about things that aren't as important as the more weightier matters of life. And you start talking to them about, you know, the worldly music. Oh, there they go on the worldly music thing. If it's not that big of a deal, why is it so hard to give up? If it's not so important, if it's If those are things, and I want to say it this way, the spiritual living has direct applicability in how we live our life. It's not just in theory and then we go live our life and it has nothing to do with what we read. What we read has direct applicability to the decisions that God wants us to make in life. And the decisions that we make have everything to do with our senses, with what we see and what we listen to, and what we put on and where we go. That's life. And the Scripture says, know ye not, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in what? Just your spirit? In your spirit and in your body. Everything. You're the temple. Be careful in buying into this thought process that, well, all of these other, they're just the things. The saints are on things. The reason that it's such a big thing is because they're so important to people. And people don't want to let go of them. And so then all of a sudden it becomes the church's problem. You see that out in politics. You have problems everywhere and it's always somebody else's problem. We heard that the other night. It's always somebody else's problem. Or maybe it was this morning we heard that. Let's not be blind to where the problems are. God has victory for us. He has power for us. He has a way of life that's fulfilling for us. And we miss out on it when we allow the world to define Christian beliefs for us. They're not in a place to define Christian beliefs for us. They're not in a place to define what morals ought to be held. They have no place to make those decisions. It's already been set. And I do not want to be in the plains. You don't have to be in the plains either. I want to be in some of those well-watered places where the Lord abides. I want to feel His presence. I want to hear His voice. I want to experience abundant life. But I cannot experience abundant life out in the plains. Did you know that the Lord has a place for you in His body? Did you know that the Lord doesn't want us to just be spectators? He wants us to be active participants in the work of the Lord. And it doesn't mean that everybody's preachers. It doesn't mean that everybody's out in the front of people. But I don't want to be in the plains when it comes to praying for other people and carrying a burden for others in my secret place of prayer. I don't want to be in the plains there. I want to have a burden. I want to have a fervency. I want to be willing to have a word of encouragement to those that I meet, those that I work with in the workplace. I don't want to be in the plains where if they were asked about me, well, do you think Rod, is he, you know, what kind of is he on the religious front? Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's okay. I don't know. I mean, he kind of fits in with. I don't want to be in the plains. I want to find the place that God wants me to fill in His body, and I want to fill it well by His strength and His grace. I want Him to be able to say, this is my servant, and I'm well pleased in him. This is my child. Yes, he makes mistakes. I'll be the first one to admit I make many of them. Yes, he stubs his toe, gets bloody nose. Sometimes he falls pretty good. But he gets back up and he keeps going forward. And he loves me. And I know that he wants to make it to heaven. And he makes decisions that help me understand that in life, he'll make some difficult decisions to put space between himself and the things that defile. Where are you tonight? In the 14th verse, it says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and he told them, get up. Get out of this place. And the warning was pushed aside with reckless abandon. Does this sound familiar? I mean, we're preaching tonight and there's going to be people that go away from here and say, heard it before. Doesn't mean anything for me. And you will stand before God.
And I believe you'll remember, this is my personal, I believe you'll remember every time that God was faithful to talk to your hearts. And you'll remember every time you walked away and said, they're off base. I think it's happening everywhere around us. People find security by being out in the plains. And they find security because they don't think they're right in the center of the city. Not realizing that the center of the city has moved. And they are right in the center of where it used to be. It said that when morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, hastened him, saying, "Arise, get your wife, get your daughters, lest they be consumed. Get out of here." I want everyone to get a hold of this. We need to be awake and aware of the voice of the Spirit that calls and whispers in our ear and says, "Get out of this place. You're in a dangerous place." May we be awake and aware. Be hastened. Don't linger around in the plains. How many times have people used the reasoning, "Well, I'm waiting on the Lord to help me understand what He wants me to do in this case." And the Lord's already told you what He wants you to do. He's told you through His Word. He's told you through faithful parents. He's taught you many times in services. And yet you go to your room, and because you don't want to live that way, you're trying to get the mind of the Lord. And the mind of the Lord has already been revealed in numerous ways. I don't want to find myself where Pilate found himself, where Jesus answered not a word. Pilate asked him a question, "Are you the Lord?" He asked him the first time. He answered the first time. He said, "Thou sayest." And a little bit later, Pilate asked him again. But the Lord knew that Pilate had no intention of changing what he was going to do. He had already made up his mind, and the Lord answered nothing. I don't want to be in that place, saints. I don't want to be in the place where I push against and rebel. Oh, I don't call it rebellion. I call it, people don't call it rebellion. They call it, "Well, I'm just getting the mind of the Lord, and I'm trying to have a more of an open mind." Be careful about having an open mind when it's an open mind to all that the world has to offer. I want to have an open mind to what the Lord has to say. I want to be willing and obedient to put my whole life on the altar and say, "Lord, it's all Yours. Lord, search me, try me. If there's anything in me that would hinder my relationship with You, please reveal it to me, Lord. I want to make it right. I want to make it in. I don't want to be found lingering in the plains saying, "Well, I'm working to get the mind of the Lord," when He's already given us His mind. The Scripture said that Lot lingered. And then it said that Lot's wife looked back, delayed by the sure consequence of the road they took. They got so wrapped up in the city, so wrapped up in what they were doing and where their love was, she just couldn't help herself. Don't linger. Move out. Get out of the plains. Flee to the mountains. Verse 17 says, "Escape for thy life." Verse 22 says, "Haste thee." The world has a sluggish influence on us. We become intoxicated with the things of this world, and we are slow to react to spiritual voices. Because we're intoxicated with all that the world has. We're so overstimulated in all of our senses that when the still small voice of the Lord comes on and taps us on the shoulder, we're sluggish. We're intoxicated. We're sluggish in our response to heed to the Word of the Lord. And at one time we were warned about all of these things. This is how deceit happens, folks. This is how deceit happens. You keep pushing off. You keep trying to get your own way. Push away the dealings of the Lord. Push away what godly men and women have tried to teach you. And pretty soon, pretty soon you become dull to that. And you kind of get yourself off on your own and you're going to figure it all out for yourself. And then pretty soon you start allowing your beliefs, like we mentioned the other morning, they start becoming framed by the beliefs of the Christian world. Nominal Christianity. They start defining what your beliefs are. And then pretty soon, you look at what you used to recognize as wrong, and with clear eyes, you say, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't understand what's wrong with it. And you don't. That's why all through the Bible, there's verses that say, take heed. Don't be deceived. Don't allow the enemy to come in and deceive you, because if you start walking in darkness, behold, what darkness. Where are you tonight? Have you put off? Have you delayed or deferred action? Maybe there's some areas the Lord has spoken to your heart about. Maybe you don't just feel completely comfortable about it, but there's always that quick response, but it's not sin. You know, we're good at that. And the Lord gently says, you know, not condemning. He's not trying to destroy. But He comes along and He says, you know, directionally, this is a safer direction. Where are you? Are there some areas in your life where you've pushed against that and you're still lingering out there? You know what happens after a while? Doesn't move you much anymore. After a while, you're so desensitized, you're so used to doing whatever it is that doesn't seem so wrong anymore. And now that becomes the new bar. That's the new bar. That's the new norm. That's the norm. Even though others are at a different place, you just say, well, I have a personal relationship. This is my new norm. And then the devil just works from there to get you to move to a different bar after that. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be sluggish. I don't want to have a divided heart. Sometimes I fear that people out in the plains have a divided heart. The angels told them in verse 17, He said, escape to the mountains. Don't just move back into the plains or the surrounding areas, but get above it lest you be consumed. And I want to say this. May God help us do the same thing in life. Put distance between yourself and the world. Put distance between yourself and the things that defile. Don't put yourself in environments or close to environments that you know are wrong. That's what Lot did, and he paid a price for it. He paid a heavy price for it. It's why we teach doctrines that are supported by standards and safeguards that support doctrines that allow us to comply with the doctrines of righteousness and holiness and separation from the world. Yes, the world has changed. It's not the same as it used to be. I get that. I understand that. I understand that we don't do things the same as they did back in Jesus' time in every way. I mean, it's a totally different world. But there are doctrines in the Bible that teach us a separation from sin. And it's specific enough to help us understand what defilement and unholiness looks like. And so we as saints look around today and we teach standards and safeguards to help us live in a way that's consistent with the doctrine. You throw all of the safeguards out. You throw all the standards out. You throw out all of the buffers, the warning tracks. Yeah, I wouldn't go there. I would not go beyond this point. I don't recommend it. It's kind of dangerous out there. Yeah, but it's not sin. Well, I wouldn't recommend it. You hang out there long enough, you're eventually going to hit the wall. You're eventually going to get hurt. And you say, well, how did this happen? You got careless. You're living out in the plains. God came along, destroyed Sodom, but plains got affected too. You got caught. Well, I didn't know this was going to happen. How much time did you spend to figure out how we ought to live our lives? Did you take heed? Did you take earnest heed? Did you take the more earnest heed? Isn't that what the Scripture says? Take ye therefore the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was just, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, which it will, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How are we going to escape if we don't take the more earnest heed? How are we going to escape if we're satisfied with living out on the plains? Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Don't halt between two opinions. If God be God, serve Him. Serve Him without reservation. If Baal's God, well then serve Him. But if you know that Baal is not God, and you know that God is God, and He's the Creator, and He's the Giver of life, and yeah, He's the Judge too, then serve Him. Serve Him. Give Him your all. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to go through life with your arm wrapped around both, trying to see how much of both you can partake of to sort of maximize your enjoyment? That's not maximized enjoyment. That is unhappiness, disappointment, dissatisfaction. I don't want to live there. I want to live so that the Lord will come down and say, this is my child. I want to live so that in those quiet times, I'm driving along and the Lord's presence comes down and starts to speak to my heart. I want to live so that when I have battles in life that are bigger than I am, the Lord says, don't worry, Rod, I got this one. I got it covered. You just keep going. You go out into the battle, but I got this one. I'll fight this one for you. I want to serve that God. I want to be all in. No hesitation. No second get. No looking back over my shoulders. None of the plane business. I don't want to be out in the plains. Not interested in the plains. Where are you tonight? Can you say with the surety that you're not in the plains? In every area of your life. I know sometimes what the enemy does, we can be real strong in a couple areas, and he likes to get us to have a sense of security around those while there's an area out there that we're well outside. The devil's fine with that. You can be as good as you want in all areas as long as he can get you in some area. Be honest with yourself tonight. Don't linger in the plains. It's not worth it. How long halting between two opinions? James speaks of being unspotted from the world. He didn't just say, don't jump in the fire. He said, don't be spotted from it. To me, that says, I better back off a little bit. Better put some distance because there might be an unexpected splatter that comes out and gets on me. And the Lord says, what's that right there? I say, what are you talking about, Lord? I wasn't in sin. No, but that spot right there, how did you get that? Well, I wasn't in sin. Yeah, but where did the spot come from? Well, I was kind of close, but I wasn't actually in it. But the Scripture says, be unspotted from the world. Just get away from it. That's not where the victory is. That's not where the happiness is. The Scripture tells us, we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous may enter in. I want to be in that number. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him because he trusteth in Him. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's where I want to be. Don't want to have a divided heart. I don't want to be in the plains. I want to make a clear separation. They had to flee to the mountains to get above it all. The angel said, don't go out to the plains. Don't go there. Get above it. Rise above it. Move to the mountains. Flee to the mountains. Are you in the mountains tonight? Are you in the mountains? Tonight, if you feel like the Spirit has passed by your way, you feel like He's dealt with you about an area in your life that you're not totally, completely comfortable with. And maybe you're concerned that that might be an area of the plains. Make haste. Be encouraged that there's hope of salvation for you tonight. You don't have to be lost. This doesn't have to be the end. God has overcoming power and strength, and He wants to take you by the hand with love. And He wants to lead you to the mountains so that you can enjoy abundant life. Where are you tonight? If you're a Christian, if you're a sinner, if you're a neglecter, maybe you've backslidden. Where are you? You need to know where you are. You need to know where you are. Where are you tonight? Let's flee for the mountains. Amen.